At once, they left their nets and followed Jesus. At once. Immediately. Without hesitation. Good morning, everybody. As Sethian mentioned, it is a beautiful morning. If you're from New England, you'll notice that we go from beautiful to brisk because we just really don't want to go to cold quite yet. But good to see you all here. Pretty basic scripture this morning. They dropped their nets and they followed Jesus. They dropped their nets. Now, I know what it means. I know what it says, but I guess my question is, what does it really mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus? For that matter, what does it mean to really follow anyone? I mean, we follow sports teams, right? I mean, right now we're probably in the middle of our fantasy football league. We follow the stock market. We follow our 401ks. We follow our favorite shows. We even follow our favorite celebrities. We actually follow, like I said, a lot of different things we follow, a lot of different people, a lot of different celebrities we follow. I'm sorry. I'm actually getting an update from one of the celebrities I follow. I really kind of hate to miss this, but I apologize again. This will only take a second. I do have to respond to this. As if rolling on the floor laughing. Like I was saying, we follow our favorite celebrities. Now, this particular individual, this was from last week, but even then it was over 8.1 million followers. Now, no slight against this particular individual, or I really don't know anything about him, and I really don't have an opinion, but I have to ask, 8.1 million people following him. I mean, what are these people really looking for? Are they hoping to get to know this person better? I mean, do they sense something special about this person? You know, I'm sure there's facets of the whole social media aspect that I just don't understand, but 8.1 million people hanging on his every word. And I suppose I could ask the same thing about Jesus in this scripture. I mean, did the two brothers, Simon and Andrew, did they sense something special about Jesus? Were they looking for something? Did they want to get to know Jesus better? What was it about Jesus that drew these men to follow him? And one step further, I guess I could ask the same thing about all of us here today. Do we sense something special about Jesus? I mean, are we looking for something from him? Do we want to get to know him better? Are we willing to just drop our nets and immediately follow Jesus? That's what I want to talk to you about today. First, I also want to point out, if you see me reach under the podium and pull out something to eat, it's a cough drop. It's not somebody else's gum. So, forewarn you. And again, that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is, what does it mean to follow Jesus? But first, most importantly, I want to ask you to join me as we look for his guidance. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, just for this opportunity to come together and worship you freely, Lord. Just thank you for the beautiful weather you've given us, that you provided us a place where we feel safe. And Lord, I just want to ask for your guidance today as I look to follow you and this message that you've laid on my heart, Lord. I pray now that all those that you've brought, you are opening ears, opening minds, and especially opening hearts, Lord, that they may hear your word, Lord, and that you may be glorified in this. We, of course, pray this all in your Son's name. Amen. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What's the attraction? What did Simon and Andrew see in him? Well, first, a little background. Jesus, at this point, is just beginning his ministry. As Doug Duncan actually covered from Luke a few weeks back, Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist. He's already spent 40 days out in the desert being tempted by the devil. He's begun teaching in the synagogues. He's driven out an evil spirit. He's healed some people. And now he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, where he starts to call his first disciples. One part about our skit from Matthew 4:18 to 20 I want to be clear about. Obviously, we added a little bit of dialogue there. You won't find that in the Matthew account. You won't find that in the Luke account. My intention was not in any way to alter Scripture. What I wanted to point out was that over the course of the day, there are many different opportunities we have to follow our opinion, follow our gut, follow a suggestion. We could simply blindly follow the leader, or we could make a conscious choice to follow Jesus. As I said, the Gospel of Luke goes into a little more detail than we covered here in Matthew. Luke's account mentions that Jesus has told Simon to put out into deep water and tells him where he wants him to cast his net. And Simon actually did have an initial response to Jesus' request after Jesus told him where to cast those nets. He said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Because Jesus said so, Simon followed him. And the result in this particular instance were his nets were so full, they were practically breaking as he was hauling the fish into his boat. Because Jesus said so, Simon did so. And then immediately, he dropped his net and followed Jesus. So I guess we could say Simon had a little bit of insight that there was something special about Jesus. Of course, he just filled his nets with fish. And a little earlier, Simon's mother-in-law was actually one of the many people Jesus had healed. So maybe Simon and Andrew, for that matter, had what we could call an inside scoop on Jesus. And I'm sure they had heard other stories about what Jesus was doing. So maybe it was easy for Simon. Maybe it was easy for them to drop their nets because they had all that information about Jesus. But don't we have that same insight? And haven't we read about, or at least heard about, all the great things Jesus has done? All the things he said he would do and all the things he did? Hasn't all of that been revealed to us? And if you're not sure, let me summarize it for you. I'm going to explain it short and sweet. The story of Jesus. You don't need any pens or pencils. This one's going to be as basic as it gets. Jesus wins. I mean, you can check your Bibles. You can flip to the end. Jesus wins. You can check out the stories in between. Jesus wins. Yes, there are struggles. Yes, there are bad things that happen. But the end result, Jesus wins. Now, of course, that always sometimes brings to the question, what about his death on the cross? Well, we're actually going to cover that later, but I'll let you know right now. The answer is the same. Jesus wins. So if we've got all this proof, why is it still so hard? I mean, wasn't it easier for the disciples to follow Jesus because Jesus was right there? I mean, all they had to do was drop a net and actually follow the physical Jesus. Well, one thing I want to point out about that, those nets, the nets they dropped, those nets literally put food on their table and money in their pocket. Those nets supported their family. Those nets were their livelihood. And Jesus, you know, didn't just casually approach them with a handshake and a business card saying, "Hi, my name's Jesus, and here's a business proposition I want to talk to you about." Jesus didn't set up some information booth with pamphlets and schedules and itineraries and say, "Here, take this home, think about it, get back to me next week and let me know what your choice is." Now, Jesus said, "Follow me," and they immediately dropped everything and followed him. And that would be like Jesus walking into Williams College, or Jesus walking into Inland Management, or Jesus walking into your office, or onto your job site, or into your home, and saying, "Follow me." And we leave our laptops, we leave our phones, we leave our jobs, we leave our families, and we follow him. So is that what Jesus wants? Is it if we follow him, we can't have anything else? Well, no, but he wants to make sure there's nothing else in our lives that we value as more important than following him. As I was putting this together, I actually remember a conversation I had with my wife. It was quite a few years back, but it was after leaving a service here at CBC. And the conversation came up. What if Jesus were to approach me right then and there and say, "Follow me"? What would my reaction be? I'm sad to say, at that particular time, the first thought I was having is we were driving and we were waiting at the light on Cole Ave, and my first thought was, if I follow Jesus, is my wife going to have enough time to get from the passenger seat to the driver's side of the seat before the light turns green? I mean, that was just a moment, but after that, I started thinking about all the things we had planned, all those projects we were in the middle of. I started thinking, well, how's my wife going to get a hold of me? How am I going to get a hold of my wife? What am I going to tell my boss? Will they hold their job for me? I mean, I was sort of absorbed up in that minutia of me. Did I not really believe that Jesus had a bigger picture perspective than what's going to happen with the traffic light? Did I really not think that Jesus had plans for my family and would take care of everything? Or was I so absorbed in me that I couldn't see all of that? And I really had to evaluate what it meant to follow Jesus. And was I any different than that rich ruler Chris Kapiloff talked about a few weeks ago? The one who really wanted to follow Jesus, but, you know, really liked all his stuff. So I'll ask you the same question. What if, as you're walking out of church here today, what if Jesus Christ met you at the door and simply said, "Follow me"? I want you to be honest. What's your first thought going to be? Is it going to be to just immediately drop everything and follow him? Or are you going to maybe think about the football game you're going to miss this afternoon? Or the plans you had? Or are you going to say, "Yeah, sure, I'll follow you, but can we kind of stop home so I can change my clothes? And can I just get some better walking shoes?" If Jesus said, "Follow me," what would your first thought be? Which all leads me to the question, what is a follower of Jesus? And if we're going to be followers of Jesus, what is that? Is that someone who reads about him in the Bible? And if it is it someone who believes in his sacrifice on the cross for our salvation? And if that's the case, is it someone who calls him Lord and Savior? And if we do call him Lord, are we ready to drop those nets and immediately follow him? Are we ready to do that in all aspects of our lives? I mean, are we doing that now in our day-to-day lives? Are we following Jesus? I mean, you're standing around the water cooler at work, or you're in the break room, or you're in a co-worker's office. Or maybe you're just out with friends and the gossip starts flowing. Or the talking behind someone's back, or the distasteful jokes. What do we do? Do we just stay quiet and pretend it's not happening? Do we go along with it? Or do we follow Jesus and have nothing to do with it? And the question is, how do we even know what to do? Well, Jesus tells us, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. He goes on to say, with our tongues we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? What about at the store, the coffee shop, and the waiter, the waitress, the counter person isn't exactly friendly to us, or maybe they don't pay any attention to us all. How do we act then? If they're rude, do we give it right back to them? Do we start having that out loud, sarcastic, imaginary conversation? Well, thank you. You're welcome. Have a good day. Well, you have a good day too. What if it's not just an attitude? What if it's that thing that keeps popping up? You know the thing. The thing your friend keeps doing. The thing you know is wrong. The thing, man, you just want to let them know that you know it's wrong. And you just, that thing. Do we put them in their place? Or do we follow Jesus? Who says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. It's getting a little tougher. But what if that thing or that issue is actually affecting me? I mean, what if someone's actually wronging me? I shouldn't have to take that. I shouldn't have to put up with that. I mean, even the disciples got on each other's nerves, and they asked Jesus the same question. How many times do I have to forgive someone? How often do I have to put up with this? Jesus said, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, here's the tough part, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. Now, if you're like me or if you're like Peter, you're wondering, does that mean on number eight, we're done? Jesus' response to Peter, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And if I'm busy keeping track so that I'm number 78, I can stop forgiving. Well, chances are I have not been following Jesus along the way. All right, so at this point we can say that being a follower of Jesus is more than just saying we follow Jesus. It's actually about following him in everything we do, in all aspects of our lives. But I wonder, if we know that Jesus wins, why is this following Jesus so hard? I mean, couldn't Jesus have made it a little bit easier for us? Well, Jesus actually says that it won't be easy. He says it'll be hard to follow him. He says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. So by following Jesus, if I want to save my life, I will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Jesus told his disciples that the world would hate them because the world first hated Jesus. But Jesus also said his kingdom is not of this world. And as followers, well, we might be in the world, but we aren't of the world. Now, this was always a tough area for me to get my head around. I mean, how can you be in something but not of it? And I guess the best way I can explain that is that, well, this world is a stomping ground for Satan. Satan's got his hand in the mix down here, and really his main goal is to get us to not follow Jesus. But it's not like the devil is out there actually saying, do not follow Jesus. It's not like he's getting in our faces and actually telling us that. He's doing it a lot more subtly. Instead, he'll whisper in your ear. And he'll say, you know what you really need to do is follow you. You know, you should take some time for yourself. You should look out for yourself. Think about yourself. And do what we want for a change. Go with the flow. Follow the world. Now, that's not because he's looking out for our best interest. He really doesn't care about us at all. All he wants is for us to not follow Jesus. But we're constantly bombarded with these messages about how we should look, how we should think, what we deserve, how we need to look out for ourselves. And you hear them in so many different ways and so many different aspects that it's pretty easy to start thinking that's the norm. It's easy to fall into that trap and start listening to the world because, after all, I mean, if we're in this world, isn't that what we should be listening to? Again, we're in it. We're not of it. Let me show you a few examples. The world says, look out for yourself. Don't let other people take advantage of you. So don't be a pushover. Don't let people tell you what to do. But the Word actually says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. So can we still be strong and follow Jesus? I mean, can we still stand up for ourselves or what we feel is right? Well, yes. But remember, Jesus loved those who persecuted him as much as he loved those who followed him. So if we're following Jesus, we need to do the same. The world also is good at telling us to take what we deserve. Treat yourself. Splurge a little. Enjoy life. You've worked hard for this. You deserve a break today. The Word, on the other hand, tells us do not love the world or anything in this world. For everything in this world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now, that's not saying that if you follow Jesus, you can never enjoy yourself. You could never go on vacation. You can never have a nice dinner out. But if those things become our sole focus, if they start driving us, then we're falling back into the desires of this world. And if we are not following Jesus, but instead following the world, and if we know that Satan is actually the one in charge of this world, then ultimately, who are we following? Again, it's not like the world's going to bombard us with this message that says, do not follow Jesus. It's going to be a lot more subtle. How common is this? Let's say you're about ready to graduate and you're looking for that job to get things started. Or maybe you've just started a job and you're looking to establish yourself. Or you could even be further along. Maybe you're saying to yourself, you know, it's time for a change. What I've been doing, it's just not working. Whatever it is, we decide we want to do the work we were meant to do. Because once I get established at that job and I got some money coming in and I'm able to put my talent to work, I can get my life in order. I got the bills being paid. I'm comfortable now. Now that I've got my life in order, well, that's the perfect time to see what the Lord has planned for me. And once I know what the Lord has planned for me, I am free to follow Jesus. Sounds pretty straightforward, doesn't it? I mean, I tried it with my first job, tried it with my second job, and tried it with my third job. Problem is, when we're focusing on what we were meant to do or what we think is going to make us happy, well, what happens if that really never comes to be? What happens if that all falls apart? Does everything else collapse in on it? Now, what I'm going to suggest is we actually take this and we turn it on its head. We do exactly the opposite of what the world would say. And we start by dropping the nets and following Jesus. Because when we do that, we're going to see what the Lord has planned for us. Once we see what the Lord has planned for us, we're going to be able to get our life in order. And once we get our life in order, well, what do you know? We are able to do the work we were meant to do. We drop our nets and we follow Jesus. Now, besides the world throwing all sorts of wrong messages at us, sometimes the problem is, well, we just don't want to drop the nets to begin with. Sometimes we just rather lug this thing around with us in case there's something in there we need. You guys know what I mean? I mean, I tend to find that's the hardest thing for me, just dropping that net. I guess I could say it's got a lot to do with the things I carry around. Maybe it's my lack of faith. I mean, do I honestly believe that Jesus Christ is going to take care of my family if I just up and walk away? Do I believe he's got that bigger picture perspective? In some regards, it's got just a little bit of pride. All right, if I'm being honest, it's got a lot to do with pride. Or we can even say it's my need to be in control, because nobody really needs to tell me what to do. I'm a grown man. I can take care of myself. What else? I mean, sometimes, like that rich ruler, it's got to do with stuff. It's got to do with all that stuff we like. That stuff can be materialism. It can be our time. It can be what we consider our freedom. And the other thing we do carry around in there, a little thing called sin. Now, maybe it's not that we love that sin, but maybe, as Brian is always so good to point out, we don't hate it as much as Jesus does. Now, maybe I know, you know, when I turn on that computer or I turn on that TV at night, I'm not exactly following Jesus, but you know what? I worked hard today. I need a little me time. Whatever it is, this stuff, we carry it around with us. It becomes a burden. It makes it difficult to follow Jesus. And that's what Jesus wants to know. Are we willing to just drop that stuff and follow him? So I ask that question again. If he met you as you walked out the door today, or if he met you later today as you were in the middle of your favorite hobby, or you're out shopping, or maybe you're sitting down with your family for that one meal a week where you can actually get the family all together, and he simply said, "Follow me," what would your first thought be? So with all the difficulty we're going to face, with all that the world is going to throw at us, everything we're going to throw in there as well, how can we ever hope to actually follow Jesus? How can we get to that point where it becomes natural, where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, where we go from saying we're followers of Jesus to actually following him? Well, I want to suggest three things we can do. Three steps. It's somewhat of a progression, but they're all kind of related and somewhat dependent on each other. We started off, we pray. Now, when I first wrote prayer down, I kind of said to myself, well, that's sort of an easy answer. I guess that's an answer for everything. Then I immediately thought, well, prayer is an answer for everything, but it's far from easy, because that's the actual hardest part, is taking time to pray. Taking time to build a relationship with Jesus, so that we're in tune with what he's telling us and we know what it means to follow him. Actually, on the radio on the way in, I heard an interesting number that on average people take 26 minutes to get ready in the morning, to get dressed, to get themselves prepared for the world. And the average Christian spends about 10 minutes a day in prayer. So it seems like sometimes we're more concerned with how we're going to appear to the world than actually taking that time to be in fellowship with Jesus. Second step, we participate. Fellowship with other believers is a key to our growth. We don't grow by locking ourselves up in a room and pretending it all doesn't exist. Participation in Sunday school, in small groups, in Bible studies, accountability groups, accountability partners. Now, all those might sound like fancy terms, but it's all about learning what it means to follow Jesus. I mean, for me, participation even means, you know, I might have to get out that pry bar and wedge open my Bible once in a while. Third, we practice. We actually put it into practice. We make a conscious effort to follow Jesus when those situations arise. You've probably all heard the saying, what would Jesus do? Actually, I prefer Phyllis Babcock's version, what did Jesus do? Because the examples are all available to us. Learn how Jesus acted and how he reacted and put that into practice so that it becomes natural to know how to follow him. One of the most important things for Jesus, taking time to pray. So it all ties itself back together. Pray, participate, and practice. Now, by no means is this intended to be a magic formula or anything like that. And I'm not saying that it's going to be, you follow these three steps and it's all going to be easy. There will be struggles. There will be trials. There will be challenges along the way. But in order to follow, you have to take the first step. And you have to take that each and every day and each and every time and with each and every instance that you run into. Now, like you, I'm sure you've come across some difficult situations. I've come across some. And maybe it's the person who tries to avoid you because you're a follower of Jesus. Maybe it's the person who avoids you at work because you've asked them to not include you on those emails anymore. I've had the challenge of company policy dictating I handle an employee in a particular way, but I felt that, you know, Jesus would have a little more compassion in this instance. So there are challenges. It is difficult, but I can honestly say for me, whenever I have made the conscious effort to follow Jesus, it's worked out. Has it been easy? No. But has it worked out? Yes. And as difficult a decision as it may be, know that Jesus always has your best interest at heart. And know that he wants us to follow him because he doesn't want us wandering around lost in this world. As Brian mentioned a couple weeks ago, Jesus is actually the one who seeks us out to walk with him. And he asks us, who do you say I am? And as we choose to follow him, he progressively reveals more and more of himself to us. And he promises that even though those trials and those challenges will come along, he will always be there for us. John actually wrote to his fellow believers about the struggles that they would encounter in this world. He said, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. He's mentioning they've overcome those struggles. How? Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Translation, the Holy Spirit inside of us is all we need. In other words, Jesus wins. So, are we following Jesus? Are we following him at work? Are we following him in our relationships? Are we following him in our marriage? Are we following him as we interact with those we come into contact with? Are we following him when he tells us to go into the world and preach the good news to every living creature? Or are we picking and choosing who we share it with? Just last week, Bryce mentioned, are we stereotyping those who we interact with? Or are we breaking down those barriers as Jesus did? As Jesus approached and fellowshipped with sinners. And are we stereotyping ourselves? Are we above needing Jesus? Have we really got it all under control? Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe we think Jesus would have nothing to do with us. I don't know, maybe you've got your own net. Maybe there's an area you're struggling with. Maybe you think there's something that holds you back or hinders you from following Jesus. Maybe you're not sure you really want to let that net go. Or maybe you're just new here today and you're wondering, you know, what does it actually take to follow Jesus? How do I get that started? How do I get that journey going? Well, the answer is the same thing in all those cases. Again, you take that first step. You drop the net and you make a choice to follow Jesus. Or you might be asking yourself, you know, would Jesus really even want me to follow him? I mean, because, you know, stuff I've got in my net. Is he going to want someone like me coming after him? Maybe you think it's too big an issue, or it's something that you're so tangled up with, you just don't feel like you can drop it, or that Jesus would even want you to follow him. Well, as we talked about that cross earlier, even during his final hours, as Jesus was nailed to that cross, as the crowds taunted him, as one of the criminals beside him mocked him, there was another criminal who realized who this man hanging beside him was. And he said to Jesus, "Jesus, I know I'm being punished justly, and I know I'm getting what my deeds deserve. But you've done nothing wrong." He said, "Jesus, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And even then, as Jesus was paying for the sins of the world, as Jesus was paying for my sins, and as Jesus was paying for the sins of that very criminal beside him, even then, Jesus responded and said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Even then, Jesus said, "Follow me." So if you are here today, and that's a question you have, or there's something you feel like you've been carrying and it's time to let it go, if you'd like to talk to someone, I'd be happy to talk with you after the service, as with the elders. But I want to point out, no matter what it is, how big you think it is, if you listen and you ask Jesus, I'm sure you'll hear the same thing. Right now he's saying, "Follow me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to share your word, Lord. Lord, and I pray now that if there is someone who has questions, Lord, or has burdens, that they're willing to just drop those nets, Lord, and follow you. We know that you seek us, Lord. It's you who initiates that call. We just look to answer it right now, Lord. I pray that you speak to their heart, Lord, and that you might be glorified, and that they would truly decide, Lord, to follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.